So what all do you have? A business, cars, houses, properties, bank accounts? Are you concerned that any of these can be taken away from you if someone sues you? Have you done all you can to protect all of your assets? Well, you really ought to get in touch with the experts down at Barth Calderon LLP. They're a law firm that specializes in asset protection and estate planning, and they can help you protect what's yours so that predators and creditors can't get their hands on them. Give them a call at 800-548-8564. That's 1-800-548-8564 for a free consultation. Hey, tell them the Exit Coach sent you. When creating an exit strategy, business owners can't just account for the health of their books. They also must consider the health of their brand. Financials say a lot about an organization, but public awareness can mean the difference for a company that sells and a company that sits. I've known the talented PR team at HKA for many years, and I've seen firsthand how marketplace visibility equals marketplace value. If your brand needs a boost, contact the marketing communications experts at HKA by calling 714-426-0444 or visit them online at www.hkamarcom.com.
Bill Black is a registered representative with and securities offered through Crown Capital Securities LP member, FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Barth Financial Advisors, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from CCS. Any opinions are those of Bill Black and not necessarily those of Crown Capital Securities LP or Barth Financial Advisors, LLC. California Insurance License 0652621.
Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Well, welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. I hope you had a great Sunday. I hope it's been a wonderful day for you. You know, if you missed our 10 a.m. show, we had a really great guest on there this morning, Peter Christman. Peter was one of the founders of exit planning and the concept of it. And he describes how exit planning doesn't really begin to describe what this type of planning is and does for a business owner. If you get a chance, go back to our website at exitcoachradio.com and listen to the 10 a.m. show this morning. It's available there as well as all the other shows we've done. All the archives are there at exitcoachradio.com. Just hit the AM 830 button. Today you are in for a great treat. I have some really great friends in the house today. First of all, we're going to hear about branding and the importance of your branding and your values and aligning your values with those of your employees and your customers and everyone, making sure everything is a straight line so that there's no disconnects. You know, a lot of times, I just heard a statistic that something like 8 out of 10 brands could disappear off the face of the earth and we wouldn't even miss them. Now, I would imagine Apple's one of the ones we'd really miss. I don't know what the other ones would be, but I would imagine that your brand probably needs to be looked at, because someday, if you are going to sell your business, your brand is going to be a big part of what it stands for, and your values are what makes your brand. And Michael Wiseman is here from the Values Institute. He's our first interview this evening, and he's going to tell us about the 5 C's that go into the values and why they matter to your brand and to your business and to your employees and to your customers and everyone. A fascinating interview. And a little bit later today, we're going to have Stacy McKibben, who is an expert at exit planning. And I've asked her to talk to us about a specific angle I hear a lot of questions about, and that is, how do professionals and small business and professionals, businesses like doctors and accountants, solo practitioners, how do they exit their business? What's their path ahead? What are some great ideas we can use to help prepare for that kind of a transition? Because that is a special one, as you well know. So we have some great information coming up for you today. I hope you'll stick around. If you need to leave, if you need to turn off the car and walk away, don't worry, you can go back to exitcoachradio.com at the website And you can listen to these interviews from your smartphone, from your tablet, from your computer, anytime online at exitcoachradio.com. So stick around with us. Tell your friends about us. We're getting a lot of great comments about the show. I really appreciate that. And I'm glad you're here with us today. Hang in there with us. We're going to take a couple short breaks to pay some bills, and we'll be right back after this. Thanks so much for being with us today. Now it's time for sales tips with Brad Leggett of the Leggett Group.
Let's talk about something a lot of people worry about. How do I pay a salesperson? For instance, base versus commission. What do you recommend?
Bill, the first thing we need to look at is the type of sales job we have. Some good rules of thumb, if it's a proactive sales position, either inside or outside sales, where they're responsible for gaining new business for the company, I want to keep a base at 50% or less in total compensation, and the other half as incentives, be the bonus and target. And when I talk about that 50-50, let's take a job that would pay $100,000 at target, meaning they made their numbers, then $50,000 in base, $50,000 in incentives. If I've got somebody that's just a lead generation person, it's one of the few times that I advocate most of the incentive be on activities. They should be paid primarily for generating the lead and turning over what's considered a qualified lead, with a small amount on the back end to pay for successful sales, just to keep them aligned. Third key type of position is sales support positions. People like tech salespeople, people like do the demos, those folks, I don't look for more than 20% of their pay to be an incentive income.
To get in touch with Brad, go to his website at leggettsales.com. Hey everybody, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach. Are you tired of the ups and downs of the stock market? Are you interested in investing in real estate but lack the knowledge and know-how? VisionWise Capital provides the private investor the ability to invest in real estate one property at a time. This is not a REIT or a mutual fund. VisionWise Capital properties are located in California. Enjoy the tax benefits of property ownership and cash flow. For information on VisionWise Capital, text VisionWise with no spaces to 44222. That's VisionWise to 44222. Hi, this is Bill Black from the Exit Coach Radio Show on Sundays. Last year, a business owner friend of mine died suddenly and tragically, and his family was unprepared. In his honor, I'm giving away 1,000 of my ebooks entitled Business Continuity, 5 Steps to Protect Your Family, free. All you have to do is text the word FAMILY to 44222. That's FAMILY to 44222. Don't let your family be the victim of an unplanned business. Text FAMILY to 44222 for this free information today. As I mentioned earlier, my first guest today is Mike Wiseman of the Values Institute. Mike, thanks for coming on to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Before we get into all about the Values Institute, Mike, we like to get a little bit of background from our guests about how they got into this particular field and this line of work. So give us a little bit of information about yourself.
Well, Bill, I was one of those crazy 50s kids that sat in front of the TV and watched Bewitched every week, and I vowed that I was going to be Darren Stevens someday. So sure enough, here 40 years later in the advertising and marketing business, I'm still alive and kicking, having a great time. It's a great field, very competitive, but being able to work with various industries each day, I probably touch, you know, 5 or 6 different industries in a day. It keeps you young, beyond my years. I'm young mentally.
How has the advertising world changed in all those years, Mike?
I can remember again when I was watching TV when I was a kid, there were 3 networks, right? ABC, NBC, and CBS.
Right.
Now there's over 900, channels that you can bring into your home, personalize. The biggest change, though, I think over the years is just the competitive nature of each marketplace. We're so overly commoditized in every category that it's very difficult for brands to stand out in what I call the sea of sameness. And, you know, for consumers who are trying to to make an educated choice, you know, on the surface, lots of products and services look good, like they could be a great choice. In reality, the buyer is not always getting what they think they're getting. So for a brand to really want to stand out and add value to its to itself, it really has to kind of take a look at how it's positioning itself vis-a-vis the marketplace. And it's really not a products and services market anymore. It's more about selling what you believe versus what you make.
So out of all of those years of experience, a few years ago, you kind of came to the realization that something was missing. There was kind of a disconnect between what someone was maybe doing and feeling internally and what they were holding out to the consumer.
Right.
And so you started something called the Values Institute. What is the Values Institute all about?
The Values Institute was really an answer to Mr. Madoff, who really kicked off the fall of trust in corporate America. So it was really around 2008, early 2009, that we wanted to get an answer for how these relationships could fall apart and how trust could be violated in such an enormous way. You know, billions of dollars of losses. And then, of course, on top of it, you know, the resulting government intervention is a Dodd-Frank, which has cost taxpayers, you know, billions and billions of more dollars. So that's the price that we pay for compliance when we misbehave as organizations. And I think what's happened again over time is that consumers are getting more savvy. The BS meter is fully in engaged. And we know when companies are being authentic and truthful with candor and when they are just chasing our wallets. And these days, chasing the wallet is not good enough. It will not sustain growth for your brand.
Yeah, so the consumers have been empowered in so many ways, and in a lot of ways have been fragmented in so many ways, that for someone to come out with just one brand and expect the whole marketplace to take root of that brand is kind of a myth these days, isn't it?
It really is. You really have to understand that in this day and age, personalization means everything to us. We want brands served up the way that we want them, and it's a matter of because of time. You know, we're all time crunched, and it's real. We're becoming very sophisticated in terms of kind of seeing through, you know, the facade that many brands attempt to put out there. What I realize is that you can't hide bad corporate behavior behind an advertising campaign. It's not good enough anymore. So really, you know, the purpose of the Institute is to shoulder to shoulder work with C-level executives in organizations to make sure that they have an established set of values that provide purpose for their employees and provide purpose for the reason for having relationships with their consumers.
Great concept. And how do they start on that process? What kind of is there an assessment tool of some type, or how do they work their way through that to determine, well, let's start from where are we?
Right. Well, our approach is a bit unique. Even though I've been in marketing all these years, the approach that we use is really a social science approach. And it goes to the basics of how we actually interact with each other as human beings. And what we have found over those, since 2009, that there are five values that hold all relationships together. They are competence, consistency, connection, candor, and concern. And what we theorized is that if those are the principles that are holding personal relationships together, what would happen if we brought that same behavior into a boardroom? What we're finding is that there's really no difference between the relationships that we build in business and the relationships that we build in our personal lives. The switched on executives are getting the fact that, you know, it's the definition of insanity. They've been trying to go to the same bag of marketing tricks for all these years, not seeing the results that they would like. And what they're realizing is that this is not about messaging as much as it is about behavior on a daily basis inside of an organization and what you stand for.
So back to the five C's, you do an assessment that helps them determine where they fit on their, based on customer or employee or
whose
feedback?
That's actually both, Bill. We have two proprietary online surveys that we've created around these five values. It's a battery of about 25 to 30 questions. We have a version that's used for employees inside of organizations to measure trust, mm-hmm. You know, the level of trust inside. And then we have another version that's for consumer trust. And what's really interesting is that when we're able to provide both studies for a brand, the similarities in the results are frightening. So if something's going on internally inside of a company, it's not falling on deaf ears externally. And, you know, too many brands are struggling to try to understand how they can build strong relationships outside when, in fact, there may be some dysfunction going on inside that needs to be paid attention to first.
Yes, and if that's not addressed, then it just continues to permeate itself, and the consumer finally gets out of touch and says, sure, enough of that, I'm heading somewhere else with my purchase.
I'm on to another relationship, you know. I don't have to stay in a bad relationship. That is the benefit of having choice these days. But it's a conscious decision that has to be made at the corporate level on a daily basis. How are you going to behave? And the same thing we know about personal relationships. If our relationship is suffering in an area that I don't pay attention to, it could erode the trust that we've built in other areas over time. And so, just like personal relationships, the relationships between brands and their employees and brands and their customers, it's a daily issue. It's a daily fight.
And is that the most important thing that consumers want from companies, is trust? What is the most important factor?
Well, trust used to be thought of as a nice to have. Now it's a have to have. There are studies out there, one that I love right now is the study that was done by Watson Wyatt that says high trust organizations outperform low trust organizations by over 286% financially. So this is not a nice to have. This has a direct effect on the bottom line. And what consumers are really looking for today, because we're following this trend, is transparency. They want to know that who they're dealing with on the other side of that transaction is someone that they can trust.
Okay, so does this filter down to every company, every size, Mike, or is there a certain point at which it becomes very important?
No, what's really interesting is that as we've monitored brands over time, you know, you would think that for a smaller company it might be easier, and in some respects it is, because you're still very close to your customers and your employees. I happen to have an awful lot of respect for the multinational organizations, especially the retailers, who have thousands of employees that are maybe thousands of miles away from corporate headquarters, and yet there's such a pervasive, strong corporate culture that you see that at work. Think of walking into a Genius bar, you know, or walking into a Starbucks. There's an underpinning of a cultural norm that's expected from each employee, because they're expected on a daily basis to deliver on the values that are established inside that company.
And that communication among employees, it could go wrong or it could go right. And if it goes right, then everybody gets the same experience no matter where you go. And
right.
But if it goes wrong, it can go wrong. These days, with Yelp and all these social media sites out there,
the great accountability tool.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And we know that, you know, I love to say, if mom and dad are fighting, the kids know. If there's something, if employees are not happy, it's going to be very difficult to build a relationship with a customer.
Fascinating conversation. I'm talking with Mike Wiseman, who's the founder of the Values Institute. And we're going to take a short break and come back with some stories and tips for our listeners. We'll be right back.
Want to grow the value of your company? Start with the values of your company. To stand out in today's overly commoditized world, your company must stand for something bigger than what you make. That's the work of Values Institute. Our social science model of values-based culture development will help you grow the value of your company by growing trust, your most valuable corporate asset. To learn more about our proprietary process, visit thevaluesinstitute.org and start growing the value of your business today.
Welcome back, friends. Just a reminder that we've interviewed dozens of advisors on a wide variety of topics, and you'll find all of their interviews and highlights online at exitcoachradio.com or on iTunes. And I'm talking with Mike Wiseman, the founder of the Values Institute, and just some fascinating discussion before the break about the importance of trust and getting aligned with your customers and your employees. Mike, can you tell us, share with us a couple stories of situations where you've come into a company and they said, we want to go through this assessment and find out where we lined up and what you found out and what the situation was afterwards?
Actually, there's a couple that come to mind. One in particular was a brand that was, it had its heyday maybe 20, 25 years ago in the U.S. market and had fallen away. It was not competitive anymore. Mm-hmm. It was playing in the luxury brand marketplace. And what happened in 2008 and 2009 is that the luxury market hit a big reset. in that you could walk into Tiffany's and buy a product from there, and they would put it in a brown paper bag so that you would not be ostentatious as you walked out of the mall with that blue Tiffany bag. They were still marketing their products as luxury items, and you really needed to have more of a reason than the fact that it was a luxury item to buy it. And so they had lost touch with their customers. And we got in and went through the process with them and found out that the customers who were enthusiastic about this particular product, they were not getting message that from them. They were completely apart from where they thought they had a relationship with that brand. So we got in and realized quickly that their customers needed something different. They needed more of an emotional connection to this luxury brand to be able to justify the purchase these days. It's a lot of money. They're spending $10,000, $15,000 on one of their products.
Okay.
Got in, did the assessment, found that unique place, what we call shared values space, where we began to change messaging. And we're relating to these enthusiasts now in a way that made them desire from the heart as well as the head. We were not rationalizing their behavior. We were saying, we actually understand what you value, and thus we make products for people like you. So two interesting things happened. They've had, in the last 4 years, year-over-year sales growth in a declining luxury marketplace. They've moved up a couple notches in market share within their category, but the most exciting story for me is internally. They've used the values that we've arrived at for them to monitor everything. They do not design a product that does not hold up to the values that were established. So beyond using the values as a marketing or messaging tool, they took it to heart inside of their organization. They hire based on these values. They create performance evaluations based on the values, and they will not develop product unless it meets those values. So they're living their values on a daily basis, not just talking about it.
What a great story, because while someone was getting out of touch,
yeah,
they come back, get an assessment, get back in touch with everybody, probably changed up their advertising, the way they
Absolutely.
Message out there, not only to the consumers, but how they treat employees, how they make decisions internally. It just changed the whole organization.
Yeah, you can imagine in a personal relationship that's been established for years, sometimes, you know, the weeds kind of grow back. We take mm-hmm. for granted the person on the other side of the relationship. We assume things that aren't true. And all of a sudden, you find yourself lost. And it's like having that one great conversation to say, you know what, let's really take time to get to know each other again. And it's amazing what happens on the other side of that kind of a realization.
Well, you know, there are a lot of business owners out there that have been doing what they do for 20, 25, 30 years, and maybe they have business partners, and the luster is gone. Mm-hmm. There's some corrosion creeping into the relationship, and it sounds like this might be a great tool to reset. Are we in touch with what's happened because it's changed so much?
Yeah, it's a great device to use. It can really give you some practical learnings. This is not a theoretical kind of navel-gazing, you know, product that we've created here. This is something that can come into a relationship, evaluate the level of trust based on these five dimensions of trust and these five values, and show where the shortcomings are, and can then practically give advice in terms of modifying behavior that will strengthen those areas for them, and thus strengthen the relationship. And the reason it's so important, Bill, is that it's almost impossible to sustain growth if you're chasing transactions today. What brands must have, whether it's during the course of your tenure at the brand, or if you're in fact getting ready for succession out of a brand, you want the most value that you can get. And to me, the most important ingredient is having sustained growth, not you know, episodic growth, which comes from transactions, but the relationship behind the transaction is where the emphasis really needs to be placed, because you're going to be rewarded in customer loyalty, satisfaction, and advocacy. They're going to tell their friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially these days.
Absolutely.
And so what would you recommend? Where would a starting point be for someone if they say, okay, our sales are flat or declining, or things just don't feel right? When do they decide, you know, let's call Mike and take this assessment?
I think when they've gone through their bag of tricks and it doesn't work. And unfortunately, too many times the emphasis is immediately put on something external. Something's going on in the field. Something's going on in sales. Something's going on, some external, and we can blame the economy. We can blame all of these things, when in fact, the first step is to really evaluate, it's self-evaluation. Are we the company that we were 20 years ago? Are we the company that we were 3 weeks ago? This is an issue for young entrepreneurs and startups as well. In fact, in many of the business schools today, Bill, what they're teaching is start with your core values before you even create your business plan. Because business plans are always going to lead to revenue, which is fine. We need it, obviously, to keep our businesses going. But more importantly, what are the fundamental decisions that you will make and won't make in terms of the core values of your organization? Because if you have that in mind, you're creating purpose for your employees every day. They're not wandering around wondering why they're there each day. And you're creating a competitive barrier when you're building trust through this notion of values of the organizations.
Great, great input, Mike. Tell us, give us a couple tips. So if our listeners are saying, okay, well, I don't know, I might be interested in something like this, or I might need to start thinking about this. What are some tips or ideas or precautions you can tell our listeners?
Well, the first thing I would say, Bill, is don't fall into the transaction trap. That's the easy one. You know, what do next week's sales look like? What do next quarter sales look like? It's a very short-sighted and myopic view. The real question should be, what does the relationship look like, you know, that surrounds that transaction? Because, you know, in marketing, we've been classically trained to build consideration, awareness, trial, and purchase. Purchase was always the holy grail. But purchase is just the beginning. It's the establishment of that relationship after the purpose that's going to bring value to your brand and ongoing loyalty. And it's far less expensive, you know, of an investment to keep a customer, as we all know, than it is to go out and get a new one. Secondly, I would say align yourself with the values of the people that work for you. This is not the Vatican. We don't go into a corner and smoke comes out of a, you know, out of the roof when two or three people in senior management have made a decision on what the values of their organization are, because you're expecting all of the employees of your company to live those out on a daily basis. Take the time to make sure that your employees are aligned with the values that you're espousing, because that's going to keep them engaged with you as well. And then finally, what I would say is communicate what you believe. Take a stand for your brand. Don't fall into the trap of becoming one more brand that has a couple more features than the one down the street. You really need to do yourself a service and stand for something and communicate what you value versus just what you sell.
Fascinating stuff, Mike. How do people get in touch with you if they want to find out more about the Values Institute?
Well, they can go to our website, Bill, which is www.thevaluesinstitute.org.
Okay, it's the Values Institute, all spelled out, .org.
That's correct.
And I've been talking with Mike Wiseman, a fascinating interview. Go to thevaluesinstitute.org and see what it's all about, because it may make a big difference in the future of your company.
We'll be right back after this message. It's time for another Experts Corner with Jeffrey M. Verdon of Verdon Law Group with his tips about estate and asset protection planning.
So let's talk about the Ning Trust that's being used by residents of high income tax states to eliminate state income tax on non-California source investments.
Well, take the example you spoke about a moment ago, the seller who's selling his business. You know, California now has the highest income tax rate in this country, 14.3% above $1 million of income, 13.3% if it's below that. So any of the listeners out there who live in high income tax states can do some planning. So if you're thinking about selling your company, you've got some time to plan. You can set up a trust in a no-tax state like Nevada. The trust has to meet certain rules and guidelines. But the idea is that once the trust is established and once you put your stock in that company in that trust, as long as the company is not situated in the high-tax state that you live in, then when you sell the company or you go public, the state income tax inures to the trust, and Nevada has no state income tax, so it pays no state income tax. And the California resident who used to own the stock but then gave it to the trust, interest, doesn't pay any state income tax. So if you had a client that had $10 million sale, or let's say a $10 million portfolio, and he was earning 6.5% on his $10 million portfolio every year, he'd pay about $93,000 in state income tax to the state of California. And that tax savings can be saved by setting up one of these Nevada Irrevocable Grantor Trusts, or the Ning Trust, as we'd like to call it.
To contact the Jeffrey M. Verdon Law Group, call 949-333-8150 or visit them online at jmvlaw.com. Hi, everyone. This is Bill Black from the Exit Coach Radio Show, Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. As a business owner, you know your best assets go home every night. I'm talking about your key employees, and your competition's always trying to lure them away. Do you want to learn how to lock in your key employees and focus them on growing the value of your business? Get my free ebook called Retaining and Motivating Key Employees. Just text the word employee to 44222. Text the word employee to 44222 for free great ideas on retaining key employees. That's employee to 44222. Hey everybody, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach. TLD Law can turn your exit planning dreams into legal reality. I've had the pleasure of working with the lawyers at TLD Law for over 10 years, and I know from personal experience that this firm knows how to assure that you, your family, and business are all protected. Whether you need an estate plan, a corporate shareholder agreement, or a complete business succession strategy, TLD Law should be your next call. Visit tldlaw.com or call 949-756-0684. Again, that's tldlaw.com or 949-756-0684.
And now the Exit Coach Radio Show proudly presents the All-Star Review, a compilation of one-minute highlights from past guests. Hear more one-minute highlights and full interviews from these guests at ExitCoachRadio.com.
One of the most common ways a business is sold is through something called an earnout. And we asked for information and an example from business broker Chris Bond.
What buyers want to have happen is they want a seller to prove the actual value of the business by having them be patient and waiting for a piece of the payout. So in other words, once the transition period has happened, say 6, 12, 18, or 24 months, the buyer will make additional payments with the comfort that, okay, it is what you said it is. Had a very creative deal earlier this year where down payment was made for about 80% of the deal. A bank stepped in for a percentage of the deal. The seller actually financed another small percentage of the deal. And the earnout comes in years 3, 4, and 5. So everybody's pulling in the same direction, making sure the first 2 years go very smoothly.
What are some of the challenges for leaders in this knowledge-based economy? Here's CEO Coach Bill Anton.
The person that has the most influence over the entire organization is the person that leads the organization. And transforming that person exponentially influences change. My training as a psychologist, my understanding about the kinds of organizations that are going to be successful in the future are going to be organizations that realize that knowledge is their product and that knowledge can only be created by enrollment, not by compliance. And so the task of the leader of the future is to transform the people that work in the organization so that they want to give their best and so that they're willing to offer ideas and perspectives that create knowledge and innovation for the organization.
Medical insurance is a big part of your budget. How do you contain those costs? We ask benefits expert Rhett Bray.
We'll talk about wellness as how we can start to communicate the importance of wellness and that we give the people and the employees the opportunities to do things that will help them to become healthier. We start to educate them on the importance of annual physicals. We start to educate them on preventative care. Women do this quite well. Men have a tendency to wait till body parts don't work and then they go, which can be late. And it's interesting. We take better care of our car. We change the oil. We see the light, the lamp light comes on, and for a lot of us, we don't do the maintenance that we should do on a regular basis. That will identify a lot of issues that people have that now you can start to address either through medication, through exercise or diet. There are just a few key areas that you can identify that will drive these higher costs.
Okay, so we've heard the term before, treat your business like an investment. It'll be a lot easier to sell down the road. What exactly does that mean? We asked an expert, Don Berzin.
Many of us in the field, encourage owners to look at their business as an investment. Some owners understand that concept, but many do not. I mean, for a number of them, they see their business as either a job, a cash machine, a passion, or an extension of who they are. And the term investment sounds a little too removed for them to relate to. And we also let it be known that a business is actually easier to sell when it has a passive ownership. I mean, an owner who is not personally critical to maintaining future cash flows. But let's face it, I mean, one of the last terms that ever come to mind when we think about most entrepreneurs is passive. You know, these people are doers. They make things happen. And sitting on the sidelines is not something that many of them want to do at any stage of their career.
What's the best way to use Twitter and other social media? We asked expert Tim Templeton.
I just had a friend ask me today, I don't really get Twitter. What is the value? And I said, you know, it's two things. It's self-promotion or business promotion in this case, and it's research. So if you want people to know who you are and what you're doing, and you create content, you create blog content, you want people to see it, one of the best ways to get it out in front of people is to send out an announcement using Twitter. Likewise, if you're trying to find people in your ecosystem, your business, the analysts, the resellers, the potential partners, you can find them by their activity on Twitter. You can interact with them. You can follow them. You can retweet things that they're sending. And you can create a relationship that way, which is a lot easier than it used to be.
Well, welcome and thanks for listening. This segment of the show features Stacy McKibben from Exit Ahead, which is a division of Multivariable Solutions. Stacy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate you having me.
Well, we're going to talk about how to get businesses ready for their exit, and especially professional businesses. And I'm very interested about this topic because it's a difficult thing to do, and you've been doing a lot of it. So I'm really happy to have you on the show. Before we get into that, I really would like to learn a little bit more about you. And could you tell our listeners something about your personal and professional background?
Absolutely. Well, I've been doing business consulting and coaching for just about the last 6+ years. And I love to refer to myself as a serial entrepreneur. I'm just an entrepreneur at heart. This is the fourth business that I personally started and have been really integral in helping two other local startups grow to their exit strategy, growing them in 38 million, $7 million exit, et cetera.
Wow. So you've been behind the desk building the businesses.
Absolutely.
And now you're helping people that are doing that to help them figure out, okay, now how are you going to get out of this business, right?
That's right. I feel my experience of actually having done it is what really adds value to my clients.
So tell us a little bit about Multivariable Solutions. What's that company all about and how long has it been around?
Well, Multivariable has actually been around for quite a few years. I've recently partnered up with Chuck Hunter, who's another coach in San Diego. And our agenda or objective really is to, as the name suggests, take all the different inputs that come into a business, the people, the team, the systems, the industry, the technology, what you actually do as a service and product, and combine all those things together to create a solution that's actually most meaningful and relevant to you. So our customized approach is really what helps us to create the success record that we've had.
So it's all about understanding the business owner and what they really are all about and what they need to do, and then helping them in a variety of different ways.
You got it.
And you run a division called, what, Exit Ahead?
That's right. Yep, that's right.
Is that the idea that your exit is off? There's a sign. You can see it. It's coming up. What are you going to do about it?
Put your blinker on. That's right. And our focus there is really our Wingman Business Consulting Services is where we actually create a business that's valuable. And then once it's valuable and it's worth selling, that's where Exit Ahead comes in. And we actually then structure the business for sale. So that's where we get into more of the nuts and the bolts of actually taking the business from an offer to an actual exit.
Okay, so what I hear you saying is that when a business is running, operating, business owners aren't always looking for run the business as an optimal sale target. They're trying to minimize taxes and maximize revenue and things in their pocket. And a lot of times you get a business owner that says, I got a big profit at the end of the year, I got to spend it, right? And so I want to minimize my taxes. But when they're thinking about their exit, now it turns the corner from, well, now I want to make what some groups call a mountain out of a molehill.
That's right.
Right.
How do I put that lipstick on the pig?
Right. And what are some of the ways that business owners do that? What are some of the top ways that you see?
Well, one of the first major important things is that it needs to work effectively without the business owner. So to the degree with which the business is still working and thriving because of the business owner, that's a problem. That's going to cause an issue when somebody else becomes interested in buying it. They'll realize very quickly that the only value in the business is the owner, and that drives down the value price for you as the business owner.
That's a huge tip. We hear that a lot. And the especially in the types of businesses that you told me that you work with. So tell me about the types of businesses that you specialize in and work with mostly.
Right. Well, we work across the board, but our specialty as of late has really been in the professional services realm. A lot of doctors, a lot of attorneys, chiropractors, financial planners, people who are really, really smart at their craft or their trade, but don't necessarily understand the business side of it. And that's okay. That's where we can come in and assist. But the big thing is they've got their name on the wall. They've got their name on the door. The reason why their patients or clients come to see them is because of their intellectual property. That can be a tough one to unwind. And it's definitely doable, but it takes some focus and intention. So that's really where we've been focusing, is helping those professional services to start to transition the business successfully without them.
Yeah, and they're in the world of professionals, of course, the very reason why their name's on the door is because it's all about their knowledge, their service, their technique, that expertise. And so I call those lone rangers because a lot of them set up practices on a solo basis. They didn't want anybody to tell anybody telling them what to do or how to do it.
Right.
It was all about them and their way. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, some of them take on a junior partner. And sometimes that works out, or maybe it's just another partner. Mm-hmm. You see a lot of, like the typical law firm, it's three names, for instance, is the name of the firm. And so, but a lot of them, I think we think, well, they must be like an LA law kind of a thing where they split everything and all that. But that's not the case a lot of the time,
no.
Is it?
No, it's not. And typically there's the primary driver who is the primary owner, and he brings in other partners, or he or she brings in other partners with them. And that is actually a strategy for exit. You know, I like to look at that as the apprentice strategy, if you will, where you actually bring somebody in with the sole purpose of cultivating them to purchase your business from you. And there's ways to do that, manage, buyout, leverage, buyout, et cetera. But again, those are things that we have to educate on and that we have to prepare properly for, so that, again, you as the business owner maximize your financial investment, which is ultimately what this business was designed to be.
Mm-hmm. And so at the other end of the spectrum, you have big firms that have been put together. And a lot of times, some of these people will, the Lone Rangers will either ingrain themselves into the into the big firm as part of their exit strategy.
Look for an acquisition, right? Absolutely.
Or maybe that's just a way for them to slow down and get rid of some expense, like administrative expense, and integrate into another firm situation.
Right.
But it's very difficult. So you run into a lot of different situations, and it's one of the more challenging spectrums of the business enterprise when you're talking about exiting the types of enterprises.
Well, it is, and business is changing so dynamically that the way people are doing business is changing. They don't necessarily need a brick and mortar office anymore and all the infrastructure that maybe you've set up. So it's really important to be mindful and think about what the next generation is going to need and how they're going to evolve. One of the big things that we've been looking at all of our businesses is how are you leveraging technology, and are you using it to optimize the profit margin of the business and to be able to generate business over and over again, or are you using it just so that you can push your paperwork around?
And in a lot of these businesses, you have people that are maybe they didn't come up with the technology. They kind of resisted it a little bit along the way.
Yep.
And now you have everything, especially in medical fields and the professional fields. You don't have law libraries anymore. It's all on your iPad.
It's all digital.
It's all digital.
Yep. And if you don't have really strong, you know, client relation management tools, CRMs, as they're lovingly referred to, if you don't have tools like that in your business, it's going to be very difficult to transition it over. As a matter of fact, your next buyer is going to use that as a reason to drive down your sale price.
The fact that you don't have
that
information organized. Mm-hmm. And the organization of the information is not just so it's easy to find somebody or bill somebody, but it's to look for opportunities and to keep in touch with people and develop referrals and all of that.
Absolutely. One of the biggest areas of opportunity that we see in professional services businesses are going back to your existing and previous clients. Oftentimes we just forget that they don't necessarily know the full breadth of services that we provide and how they can use us or even refer us to their friends and family. So that is a big win in most businesses, is just starting there. And it's very difficult to do if you don't have a good system in place with which to do it.
Well, Stacey, you're bringing up some very good points. Could you just give me an example of a doctor that you've recently helped, and what were the results from that situation?
Absolutely. Well, very simply, the doctor was ready to retire. He was at the place in his life where his wife was very adamant that she needed time too, and that it was time for them to make the transition. The challenge that they had was they still depended greatly on his monthly income that he was getting. So our job right off the bat was to not only help to replace that income in the business, so we needed to actually hire on another provider in order to be able to bill properly for that, but then also to work him systematically backwards from the business, since the vast majority of the patients were there because of him. So, you know, systematically over, you know, about a 6-month time period, we did just that through the scripting with the team and the staff and making sure that everybody had the same approach. We were all of a sudden now started getting phone calls in for our new doctors, which was a huge win that we started to see instantaneously. And then, you know, some of the other things that we did was shoring up the cash flow, taking their cash cycle down from 30 to 45 days down to 7 to 10, with again, some very simple technology changes that we made, some automation of their billing processes and the way that they were collecting their cash made a huge difference. We were then able to take that additional income and put it in towards the marketing. So those combinations of things then systematically allowed us to work the doctor backwards. And now, you know, he comes in as we need him to. So he's on call essentially for us, and we'll fill in for when we have massive sick days or things like that. But he and his wife just got back from a 2-week vacation cruising around, and they're extremely happy. So I would say that's a giant win.
Huge win. And you gave him really what a lot of these baby boomer owners are looking for, and that's some time back in their lives.
Absolutely.
Right?
Time and the money to be able to do something with that time.
Well, that's, you know, I find that a lot of people, they don't necessarily want to retire in the real sense. They want to rewire. They want to change things up, get some time back, work part-time, because what else are they going to do? And but take those vacations and have...
He loves seeing the babies still, so we make sure that he's a part of our rounding and a part of that process. But we also made sure that he's still collecting enough income and still pocketing enough in his retirement funds that he and his wife are able to settle down very nicely for this next couple of decades.
So in the different things that you do... You talk about being able to guarantee your results, and what does that mean, and how do you do it?
Well, guarantee is a big word. You know, it means just what it says. We guarantee that we will get the results out of your business. Now, we do that very clearly by being extremely selective on who we work with. You have to really want the changes that are going to be necessary in your business, and you have to be willing to do them. So those are two big things that we look for. After that, we set clear expectations. We need to know exactly what it is that a win looks like for you. How much money is it in the bank? How much time are you needing off, et cetera, and so forth, so we get really clear on what that is. And then we get busy executing on our tested and measured system. We have a system that we use to drive to those results, and then we execute. That's our formula. And we have a 100% success rate right now.
That's wonderful. So what's the number one thing that you ask of all people, or ask you people to do when they're working with you? What's the first thing, number one thing you ask them?
I ask them to think about their commitment to the process on a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being none and 10 being absolutely have to get this done and need to be there. Where are you at on that scale? If you're not a 10, it's going to be very difficult.
How many people say they're not a 10?
Quite a few. They do. They hem-haw about where it is that they, well, I know I need to make these changes, but I'm not 100% sure, and we'll get 100%. Know that this is what you need to do and what you're looking for, and then you put the right team in place to do it, and we're that team.
What's the ideal time frame for a business owner if they say, yeah, it's going to be a few years, but I don't want to get started yet? How many years do you like to have to help business owners really transition properly?
If I could have my pick, I'd have at least 2. On the minimum side.
2 years.
At least 2.
Is that because there's a lot of transition that needs to happen, cash flow, everything, plus it's busy?
Yeah. I mean, to work the owner specifically out of the business, it takes time. You've got to replace that owner. You've got to replace that revenue because the owner's still collecting their cash too. I mean, that's our objective, is to do all this while still paying him, her at the rate with which they deserve to be paid from this investment that they've made. So we've got to do a couple of things at that time, and then we've got to put the high-performance team in place. I'll tell you, my number one thing that I see everywhere is that we've got a whole bunch of really good people, very few great teams.
Good, well put.
And you can have, I've found that for every 3 good people, it takes 1 great person.
Okay.
So if you think about your overhead and you're thinking about your team right now and you're looking around, look around and identify who are those three good ones, because there's one great one that could replace them.
Very good. And so after a doctor, let's say, or an accountant has transitioned and said, okay, now I've got this younger person in and everybody's calling them now, mm-hmm. How many of them want to stick around and now just be a practitioner or continue to work in the practice?
It's funny. Actually, more than you'd think. Especially my doctors. My doctors love to do what they do. And the business part is this necessary evil that they've had to deal with for quite some time. And so it is a breath of fresh air to be able to just do what they love to do. I see that with my attorneys, with my accountants, my mechanics, by the way. The mechanics that we've worked with in the past, they just want to work on cars. They don't want to run the business. So, you know, when you find stuff like that, it's very rewarding for them. And to see them do it for 4 to 6 hours, 8 hours a week, wow.
So they're doing what they do in the first place is because they love what to do. It's just all the other stuff that comes with that when you own a business, right?
That's exactly right. And because you're not trained on it, you don't know how to do it, so it's not something you do easy or simply.
If you could give our listeners a couple tips, ideas, or precautions that they should think about as they start thinking about this topic.
Sure. Great ones. First and foremost, get your number. What is it that you're retiring to or that you're working towards? Understand what that is. That'll help your team to be able to help you to work backwards from that. So know that number and be prepared and be proud of it. If it's 10 million, it's 10 million. If it's a million, it's whatever that number is, say it and be proud. Number two is look around at your team. What kind of team have you built in place? Because again, the core values of a company are exuded and exemplified by their team. More often than not, the challenges that I see in profitability are due to the fact of lack of productivity by the team. So profitability can easily be picked up by putting in place a high performance team. And then lastly is run your business like you drive your car. You look at your car with a dashboard, you would get in a car and you would make sure that you had enough gas, that there was no check engine light on. All of those same things apply in your business. Do you have a clear dashboard? Do you understand how to read it? You don't need to be an accountant, but you do need to understand what the numbers are, and that is the health radiant of a business.
I can see why you're successful. You're very clear and succinct, and those are great tips. How do people get in touch with you, Stacy?
The easiest way is just by giving us a call directly. I'd love to give out my mobile, 619-405-0093. Just call me right away. I'm happy to give away free coaching sessions, complimentary consultations. Again, our goal here is to help. And if you're somebody that is willing to do the work to move forward, then we're willing to work with you.
Thank you very much for joining us. I hope you'll come back because I think this is a topic our listeners are going
to
find very interesting, and we'll have you back again sometime.
Mm-hmm.
I've been talking with Stacy McKibben of Exit Ahead, a division of Multivariable Solutions, and we're going to take a short break, so please stay tuned. Now it's time for our Experts Corner on Branding with Kevin Twer, Senior Vice President of HKA Marketing Communications. Kevin, when should I begin being concerned about getting more visibility from my company?
Well, at every stage of a company's life, there are plenty of reasons to generate positive attention, particularly from media sources your audience read, watch, or even listen to. Even a young startup company is likely to be doing something new or different. Sometimes it's a unique product or service, other times it's the management style of the CEO, or even an innovative delivery system, or a charitable endeavor. The differentiation that gets you noticed may not always be obvious, but you should always be looking for ways to gain attention from media, and be aware of all kinds of media that your audiences consume, from traditional newspapers and magazines to the latest social media channels. And when should I start? Well, you should start yesterday. Always be thinking of how to get out in front of your competition through media, and you'll see excellent results when it's time to identify a buyer. In fact, and this is absolutely important, with greater visibility, sometimes the buyers come to you.
For more information about HKA Marketing Communications, call them today at 714-426-0444. That's 714-426-0444. Or go online for their social media content calendar, a free guide available at hkamarcom.com. That's hkamarcom.com.
Hey everyone, it's Bill Black, the Exit Coach. I want you to take just a few minutes and think about all of your assets that you've worked so hard to accumulate in your lifetime. Your business, your properties, your major assets. You're proud of those assets and you don't want anybody to take those away. However, there are many forces at work that are out to get your assets. Lawsuits, taxes, unforeseen financial calamities. You need a firm like the Jeffrey Verdon Law Group to help you look out for your assets and protect your future. They use practical and effective and elegant estate planning strategies that are individually designed to meet your specific goals and objectives. They believe in using their knowledge and expertise to create long-term effective strategies that safeguard your assets and your loved ones. Don't leave things to chance. Call the Jeffrey Verdon Law Group today and ask them how they can help you protect your assets. Their phone number is 877-774-9238. That's 877-774-9238. Tell them the Exit Coach sent you.
At BEI, Business Enterprise Institute, our mission is helping owners benefit from their life's work. We accomplish this by providing comprehensive, continual exit planning training, marketing support, certification, and plan design to business owner advisors. Thousands of exit plans have been created over the past 10 years by hundreds of advisors using our planning software to help owners grow, protect, and transfer business value. To learn more about exit planning and BEI, call us toll-free at 888-206-3009 or visit us online at www.exitplanning.com.
That's going to do it for the show today. I want to thank you for joining us. I'd like to thank my guests, my sponsors, and my producer, Julie Tabazon, for pulling the show together. It's been a real pleasure to be with you today. I want to remind you, go to our website at exitcoachradio.com and you can dig into all kinds of interviews with advisors, including our past interviews here on AM 830. And follow us on Twitter at Exit Coach. We'll see you again next week here on AM 830 KLAA. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.